Yo, this is Joe.
And this is your boy, Eli.
Welcome back to another episode of the Off Wrestling Podcast. On this episode, we'll be giving a quick little breakdown of our thoughts and opinions. But first, the intro. Hey, yo, before we get started, we just want to do a quick moment of silence for Scott Hall. Yeah, definitely rest in peace to the legend, WWE Hall of Famer Scott Hall, aka Razor Ramon, was a pivotal part of just wrestling in general. I literally think on the first episode of Monday Night Raw ever, like, he was on there. So just a major part of, you know, wrestling in general, you know, helping to build WCW up to what it was. The dude is just, he was amazing. You know what I mean? And even like hearing that he was involved in like helping like Sting reestablish like the Crow character that he had, and just one of the great wrestling minds. And it was really sad to see, to hear that, you know, he passed away, but, you know, definitely, you know, rest in peace to him and prayers out to his family and everything.
Definitely.
Yeah. But to get started on wrestling, I don't want to start off on a somber note. We're going to get started on AEW first, like we usually do. So for me, this really, really kind of shocked me. Like, I really thought that Jericho was going to come in on Dynamite, kind of show love to Eddie Kingston, finally, and just shake his hand. Yes, but no, he had to go crazy, and he went full heel, and he started a new fact as well. I was not expecting that.
He called it the Jericho Appreciation Society, is what he yelled.
That's a terrible name.
It's a terrible name, but yeah. Like... especially like what I consider, you know, the other guys were complaining, like Santana and Ortiz were complaining that it was all about Jericho. Then he goes and makes a group called the Jericho Appreciation Society. That's worse.
Yeah, it's not where it's at. But yeah, terrible name. It's funny though, because like I was like, that can't be the name. Maybe it's like a work in progress or something. Like,
yeah,
he just said that off the cuff, and like maybe next week they'll change it. But they already have shirts like, on the AEW website. They already have shirts that say the JAS, Jericho Appreciation Society.
What do you think about the group in total? Like, the, so it's Daniel Garcia, Jericho, obviously, because his name's in the group. 2.0 and then 2.0. Hager. What do you think about that group?
So for me, it wasn't surprising that Hager was a part of it because he's literally just there.
Right. He's just there in the background.
Yeah. He's gonna do whatever Jericho does. That's like his muscle.
What are we doing now, Chris?
Yeah. I don't know. I didn't expect it. Like, I thought, even like the Santana Ortiz thing, I thought they were kind of like getting back, not getting back together, but it seemed like they were on like equal playing fields or whatever.
Yeah.
So it's interesting to see that he started a new faction. But I think if anything, this helps 2.0, and it helps, what's the other guy you said? I'm forgetting his name.
It was Daniel Garcia.
Daniel Garcia. Yeah. They've been talking a lot about him and like really promoting him. And I feel like Daniel Garcia is good, but he's not as good as they say he is.
Yeah.
For me, I haven't seen it yet. He seems like a pretty like run-of-the-mill, you know, wrestler, but I would like to see more from him. But I'm thinking with Jericho being a part of this group with them, maybe it elevates their stock, and you know, we start to see more of what they can actually do.
And that's, so, I mean, that's the part of the group that I'm actually here for. Like, if it's guys like Sammy Guevara and like Wardlow and, you know, like Jake Hager and stuff, it was in Santana Ortiz, I didn't really see it like elevating their stock, like, you know, much more than it could have already been. But for these three guys, like, yeah, they could definitely use Jericho. You
know, definitely. You know? Yeah. And it's interesting too, because like, I know the Inner Circle, they won like Faction of the Year. From like Pro Wrestling News or Pro Wrestling Illustrated. So I'm thinking like, what if he like creates another faction? He creates this faction and he also gets Faction of the Year with this one. Like, it'll just prove that
it's Jericho.
Yeah, like, yeah. Jericho could do anything, you know what I mean? So if he can elevate this faction and make them bigger, that's gonna be dope for Jericho, but also just those wrestlers that are involved as well. My thing though is like, I know like right now Bryan Danielson and Jon Moxley are teaming together. And they were talking about bringing Daniel Garcia into like their fold. Brian was talking about bringing him in to create a faction. Right. So I'm like, is Garcia still going to be a part of that? Or is he going to stay with Jericho?
I'm thinking,
are they even doing a faction thing with Brian anymore? Yeah. Like, you know what I mean? And we'll talk about that later, but it just kind of made other things confusing. And then we also, in the same night, this was like literally right after this segment, they had a match, which was kind of a random placement, I felt like. But it was Dante Martin versus Hangman Adam Page for the AEW title. Very soon for a title shot, I feel like, for Dante Martin. Yeah. You know what I mean? Yeah. Very, very soon. But
it did seem kind of like out of place, like, yeah, especially for a second match. Like, this is, if they were going to do it, this would be something you see on like Rampage, like the last match. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And I was like, this should have started the show off. Like, yeah, we got this, you know, this new matchup, fresh matchup. The champion's a defending champion. Like, and it's Dante getting his first title shot. Like, I feel like that should have first versus the Jericho thing. Like, the Jericho thing could have happened anytime during the night. So it was a weird placement, I felt like. Like, it wasn't really planned out that well.
Yeah, those they two did segments. Say. I think JR did say Dante was like 7-1 in 2022, but
it's huge.
I'm just wondering who he beat. Like, you know, like, I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, I know that they have like the AEW Dark and Elevation. Yeah. He's fighting over there and getting his rank up, but I don't know. I definitely feel like he deserves a title shot. I just feel like it's soon.
It is very soon.
Like, this would have been,
I would envision him more like fighting for the TNT title, but it is very soon.
Very true. And his brother just came back, so I'm like, you know, is this their way of sending him back to the tag team division, like giving him one off, like a quick little title shot, and then sending him back to that tag division, and maybe in the future we see Dante battle for the titles again, or the title again. But it was dope to see, and I think it's a dope spotlight, and it shows having Dante. But it's like, as far as his character, I don't know who he is. Like, he's just this young guy that's super dope, versatile, does this crazy high flying. But it's like, who is his character? I don't think he's ever really even promo before. So it's like, I still need more investment.
Yeah. Know? I do hate the fact that the Leo Rush thing, the whole thing, like, fell through, because that was, that was going to give Dante some personality, because I still have no clue who he is. You know?
Me neither. Yeah. He's just the guy that looks kind of nervous when he comes out, but then does incredible stuff. He looks like he's about to cry, but he does incredible stuff. And I'm like, man, this is amazing. But I just need to say a little more.
It's amazing. Who is this man?
Who is this young man? I think he's like, 21 or something. So he has a very high ceiling. And you can make up for it like with time, but
with time, yeah,
it's just interesting. You know, I mean, yeah, to kind of see that.
You saw, did you see where? So it looked like Regal was basically managing John Moxley and Brian Danielson.
Yeah,
essentially what it is.
I guess, like, I felt like I missed the episode when they came out. Like, I was like, wait, did they already talk about why he came out? Like, they never really said it until after the match that they had.
Yeah, after the match, he kind of gave the rundown of, you know, their importance and what they did for him. But when I first saw that Regal was signing, I figured it was going to be more so something close to, like, what he did in NXT. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like he would be in that kind of role.
Yeah, that kind of role, or, like, maybe training people, or, like, a GM, like, any that kind of form and function. But it seems like this is a full-on – they're going full-on with this faction, which is the opposite of what I thought originally. Like, I was like, they're going to tease it as a tag team, and then they're just going to fight each other.
You know that's what I was thinking, too. Yeah.
Like, obviously, that's a big match. That's a big payoff. Like, John Moxley and I keep wanting to call him Daniel Bryan. I'm going to just call him Daniel Bryan. I mean, I thought that was it, like, now – it's like a full-on tag team. I was like, we didn't need another tag team. But, you know.
Yes, that was one of my notes. We do not need another tag team. Like, it is not needed. And even, like, when they wrestled against some jobbers. Like, literally, I think they said they were, like, Ring of Honor wrestlers or something. Like, old Ring of Honor wrestlers.
I honestly can't remember their names. Like, no disrespect. I don't know their names. No disrespect. Yeah.
But I was like, they pretty much put them against jobbers. And I guess this is their way of kind of showing what they can do as a tag team. And I think their styles mix well. It's like you have this brawler in John Moxley, and then you have like this technical, you know, innovative wrestler, all these submission moves and slams. Like, it was a good mix, but it's like, I just don't see it happening for too long. You know what I mean? And like, is William Regal enough to hold these two together like that for long term? I don't know. Like, they're definitely going to end up fighting each other again and turning on each other. Like, I just don't, unless they do the faction now, I just don't see it happening, but we'll have to see what they have planned.
Yeah.
But I do like the optic, though, of William Regal just being Daniel Bryan or Bryan Danielson's manager. I can see that. Like, them coming out together just looked right. So I can see that, but I don't know, more so like Moxley. Like, they don't really have a relationship for real established, so it'll be interesting to see where they go from that. And then I think in the same, this was like a crazy episode. Like,
I know, it was star-studded. It was stacked. It was completely stacked. Yeah, title matches and everything, but is that when they had the meeting?
So this, the meeting, and it was the Jeff Hardy AEW debut. So for me, what maybe the saddest from the segment was Private Party turning on Matt. They've been with him since like AEW started, pretty much since Matt came in. You know what I mean? So that really kind of got me. Like they had the thumbs up and then the thumbs down.
I love that portion of it though.
Yeah, but it had to happen eventually, I guess. And now you kind of get the Private Party versus the Hardy Boys thing, which that's going to be an amazing match whenever that happens.
Did you see how Jeff had all that? He was celebrating on the ramp, like while Matt's getting choked out. Like literally, two people have got their foot on Matt's neck, and Jeff's like doing the dance. Like, bro, go save him now. What are you doing?
You like got to dance his music real quick, fam. Like no, like it's not a time to dance. Your brother's getting beat down right now. But no, that was dope, and it's just nice to finally see Jeff. We've heard, you know, like little moments here and there where like he's mentioned wanting to come to AEW and there was some rumors and then he directly as well, so it's like it's nice that it finally happened and we don't have to wait anymore. I like the part where Darby was just kind of staring at Jeff. Yeah, and Jeff was kind of like, what is this guy staring for?
I do want to see that.
But it's like it kind of gives you like hope to like, okay, maybe they're gonna wrestle eventually. And that's going to be a dope match too. And even just like dope segments with them two together. Cause they both had that kind of like outcast kind of style. So.
Definitely. I think I was hearing somewhere that they were saying that WWE is possibly going to sue Jeff for like doing that reveal early, like that reveal he did a couple weeks ago where he revealed it on that guy's YouTube channel or whatever. That it was like breaking a portion of the 90-day clause where, you know, you're not supposed to say where you go and then you go there. So, it could possibly lead to like some legal issues. You know what I mean? Jeff did kind of spoil his debut. I mean, they were chanting Jeff before he actually came out. You know what I mean? Like he definitely spoiled his return. But I don't know. I do see. Hopefully, it does lead to something with Darby and Jeff down the road. That could be pretty good.
If he does get sued, he got the money. He'd be all right.
Yeah, he got the bread.
He'll be. And then we had Scorpio Sky winning the TNT Championship. So storyline-wise, like, it made sense. Like, you have this guy, Sammy Guevara, who pretty much, like, puts his life on the line, goes out there, has been defending his title, like, every week. Literally, like, his ribs haven't had time to heal, storyline-wise. So it made sense for him to lose here. Like, he's pretty much putting himself, like, against the grain to try to win these matches.
They've been teasing a match for a minute, too. You know what I mean? It's not like it's a random opponent. Like, they've been talking about it. I just didn't expect it to actually happen.
Yeah.
You know, like, I didn't expect it to happen because I think Wardlow won that match. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
To fight the TNT champion. So I was like, okay, Sammy's going to retain here. You know what I mean? And there's so much history with Sammy and Wardlow. I was like, it makes total sense, but now it's just like complete opposite. You know what
it's
I mean?
Like, well, yeah. So it was interesting too, because like literally Scorpio Sky won the last Revolution match, Face of the Revolution match, but nothing really came of it for a while. Right. And I'm like, so is that guarantee that maybe in the future you'll have a TNT title opportunity? Like if you win that match, that means you're automatically facing for the title soon. Or, you know what I mean? Like, how does it, I don't know how it works, because it took so long for him to get a shot. But I guess it's nice to see Scorpio Sky, you know what I mean, win it. Just because it's somebody different and like to have a heel hold that we haven't had a heel hold the title since Miro. So I think that'll be dope as well. And I think this kind of boosts the stock of like American Top Team as well. Like they literally, they're doing like stuff with, I forget the manager guy's name. It's slipping me. But it looks like they're trying to build like a faction with them, so it makes sense for them to have a title and kind of, you know, brings more to them. So it's kind of, I feel like it was early for Sammy to lose, but at the same time, it made sense because his character literally does whatever to get the win. You know what I mean? And it's like, that style only lasts for so long. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I'm just so used to watching, I guess, WWE, and I'm like seeing somebody be the champion for a whole year or 8 months and then you lose it. But I mean, this is a good change. It's unexpected television, you know what I mean?
Yeah, and this kind of shows too, like with Sammy, like this style won't always win him matches. So now it's like, how does his character go back into his toolbox and change his style to be a winner in the future? Because he's definitely going to be challenging for the AEW title, you know, if not this year, to next year, you know what I mean? And I think this frees him up to do that. But it's like his character is going to kind of make him look like, you know, should I do these high flying maneuvers? Should I limit it? You know what I mean? And
it could also,
it's dope,
I mean,
character wise.
Yeah, it could also put him in some, like, somehow put him into the Jericho feud too, like take the title off of him and kind of focus on that. Because, you know, he wasn't in Inner Circle, so.
somebody different with the title and kind of switch it up. And then we also, during AEW Rampage, we had the in-ring debut of Swerve Strickland. Dope entrance, super dope entrance. And it's just dope, like, he's super over. And it's like, I never knew he was this over.
I still, like, coming to it, I still didn't understand how or, like, why he was so over.
Yeah.
But watching him, I was like, wow, this dude is so innovative.
Very innovative, yes. And even like Tony Nese, like this match made him look good as well.
Yeah.
Even though he lost, like you could kind of see more of what Tony could do as well. But man, this was a really dope match. I had to watch it back like two or three times because there was so much that I was like, wait, did he just do that?
Yeah, even the simple stuff he did was like had such a high IQ. I mean, like I think he did like a roll through brain buster where he just like rolled on the ground, picked Tony Nese up and did a brain buster. He did so many things where it was like, wow, I've never done that before. I've never seen that before. You know what I mean? Most innovative person since like Rob Van Dam. Like it was very innovative.
Very true. And he was very charismatic with it too. And like the little subtle movements he would do like after moves. It was just dope. It's dope to see like somebody that like, you know, really pays attention to like the craft and, you know, really gives the fan an entertaining show. But yeah, definitely a very good debuting match, and I'm excited to see what's next for him.
It's too bad they can't make like a X Division title. Not like I don't want to name a cruiserweight, but like an X Division. They've definitely because I don't want to put Tony Nese and them back in the 205 Live. You know what I mean? That's not what they need. They would quit. They were like, "Well, you trying to make us cruiserweight?" And like, no. But I honestly forgot Tony Nese was even signed with the company. You know what I mean? And then I saw this match and I was like, wait, whoa, yeah, they did sign him like a couple months back or whatever, you know. But yeah, they definitely got the division for something like that. And like I said, they could use more titles. AEW needs more titles.
They definitely do, yeah.
The talent is there's just too much talent.
So many people.
Too much talent.
If anything, you know, the trios title, I think that would make a lot of sense. It's never been done before.
Yeah.
A three-man title, that would be so dope. You know, and then just adding more women, obviously, that's needed for sure. And then having, like you said, like an X Division, I think that'll make them complete. Yeah, I definitely think that, you know, there's a good future for Swerve. And I want to see more of Tony Nese, too. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
After this match as well. So, but switching over to the WWE side, we had the, I can't even say, this is so terrible, man. Why do they name this man this? We had the main roster debut of Butch.
Butch. Why could he not just be Pete Dunne?
I don't know.
What was wrong with that name?
Yeah, I don't, like, why call him in that? But it was funny because, like, Sheamus was like, you may know him as a different name, but we call him Butch. So I'm like, is he still Pete Dunne? Because you're acknowledging the fact that he had a different name. So is he still Pete, or is he just Butch in this faction, and he's Pete later? Or is he just Butch?
You've been 0-for-8 with name changes lately, man. Like,
why?
They've all been terrible. Horrible, horrible name. It puts him over less. The outfit that they had him on.
Oh my God.
Even more dumb. Like it just this should have been a solo debut. He didn't even get to speak. Which
nope,
I don't he did nothing. I don't know if that's a part of his gimmick or not, but it looks like it. Like it looks like he's not gonna get the chance to speak.
Yeah. And he speaks very well in this promo. So it's why not have him do his thing that he did in NXT? You know, Vince always has these weird plans for these wrestlers. Like, so we'll see. I just hope he doesn't get fired in a week from now.
Yeah.
And he's just not working out. And he just fires him. Did you see his interview? Do you see Vince's interview with Pat McAfee? I don't know if you ever talked about it.
Yes.
But he was saying, like, how sometimes wrestlers just don't work out. And, like, if you don't execute the role well, then that's on you. And I'm like, sometimes you kind of put them in like these weird situations.
But they give them some terrible gimmicks. They gave Keith Lee the bear claw gimmick. And like, you expect them to run with that? You can't run with that.
Hearing Vince's philosophy and like seeing new talents, I just get nervous. It's like, man, this dude's been in NXT for a long time.
Yeah.
Been doing dope stuff. And it's like, now he's being brought up. His character's being changed. And like, literally, you see that. It's like, you start to see the decline of that wrestler. And then they just fade away. Yeah. You know what I mean? So.
And what's crazy is the Butch debut really got overshadowed because of something unfortunate, you know, Big E getting injured during a match.
Yeah.
And man, I was sad for the rest of the day.
Yeah.
When that happened. I was sad for the rest of the day. Like it legit ruined my night. And then just thinking about him even being in the position, you know, why he's in the position, getting demoted and everything. And then Rich Holland, like, man.
Yeah. I initially saw it on social media. I think you sent it to me first. Because I hadn't seen SmackDown yet, and I was like, no, don't tell me Big E is injured. And then there's all the videos of him confirming it online and the neck brace. And luckily, he didn't need surgery, he said, so it's going to be able to heal properly. But it's still sad. Like, it's like, man, like the decline of Big E this year. Like, I never thought we were walking to 2022 with Big E just being like how he is right now. You know what I mean?
By or, Rich Holland too, man. Like,
yeah, like literally they ended 2021 with Big E. Like, he had this sharp increase in his talent and like his promotion and him being like a big deal, and it's just kind of so.
This man just had a WWE title.
Definitely, yeah. It's like, bro, like this is just a former WWE champion, but
yeah.
I don't know what it is with Holland. Like, I don't know if like he just gives up mid move because he's botched with other people before and almost injured them. And it's like, what are you doing? Like, do you not know how to wrestle? Do you not know what you're doing out there? You know what I mean? He's definitely got to chill.
For this, they definitely may end up demoting him for this.
Probably, yeah.
I wouldn't be surprised if Bush like just took his place in the group.
And very true.
If it was Shin, that makes like, you know, much more sense. But
but
just him and Ridge and the trio, I don't know.
Yeah, but I'm definitely sad for E. Do you know what Hot Ones is?
Yeah, I saw the Hot Ones thing he did with Goldberg.
Goldberg, and it kind of felt like they were teasing something. And I'm like, okay, are they gonna do a Goldberg versus Big E thing? Like, I was so excited for it because Big E really wants a Goldberg match. Like, that's something he's talked about in interviews. Like, he talks about that all the time. And I was like, now we're gonna get that. And I wonder if we were heading towards that, but now, you know, Holland injured Big E, so we'll probably never get a chance to see it. And Goldberg is getting up there in age. It's like, when is he ever going to re-sign? Which he re-signs all the time. He'd probably be 70 wrestling. But it's like, you know what I mean? Like, it's just sad to see, like, you know, we could have saw more of Big E, but, you know, Holland kind of slipped. And I'm not a wrestler, so I can't sit here and say it's Holland's all the way, but it was just bad to see. And I felt like, this has kind of been a thing with him, so it's like, bro, you need to get it together because you might hurt some of our favorite stars. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, but definitely wishing Big E a speedy recovery. So we finally got Steve Austin accepting Kevin Owens' invitation for a match segment. I don't know what.
It's KO. Okay, show. So the fact that they said it was going to be on the KO show, that confirms for me this is not a match. This is like a come out segment. I'm hoping it won't be hokey. You know what I mean?
Which he always does. Like, he always pops out and like stunner somebody.
Yeah, and that's not new. Like, you know, he's done it with so many years before. So no, it's not really a surprise at all. You know what I mean?
I wonder if it's like a segment and then they have a ref come out randomly and they just like he stunners them and then the ref runs out 1, 2, 3, and then that's like the quote unquote match that they have. But it's like the way they're promoting it is like, is he gonna have a full 30-minute match? Or like,
what? No way. There's no way. I think he wants his last WrestleMania match to be the one he had with The Rock. Like, I think it was what, WrestleMania 19? I can't remember. I can't remember the exact one, but I think he wants that to be his last one. I can't see him coming back and be like, yeah, I'm gonna do this one more time for Kevin Owens. Nah. Yeah. I think that's why they wouldn't call it a match. They would just call it a segment on the KO show.
Speaking of Rock, I feel like it's gonna be similar to when Rock popped out against the Wyatt family in WrestleMania 32, and it was like a quick match. I see it being something like that. Or even
when Cena challenged The Undertaker and sitting in the front row.
At 34. Yeah. I can see it being something like that, like a quick little 5-minute match, but not being more than that. Yeah. Not being more than that. So and then we got Pat McAfee. This is like really rare. I did not expect this to happen. I knew that they were saying they were gonna wrestle each other.
Yeah.
But it felt awkward. Like, for a second it felt kind of real. But I was like, nah, they're working this. But like, I'd never seen it where like somebody just like sat down at the commentary booth and then just started picking a fight with a commentator like that. But we have Pat McAfee versus Austin Theory at Mania. And I figured that this is a match you would get for sure, but yeah. I don't know. It's just a different kind of segment on SmackDown.
Yeah, and it's like, the more I think about it, maybe you don't think this way, but the more I think about it, the more I think that like maybe Pat McAfee is actually replacing what would have been Shane spot at Mania. Because it's like the only logical thing I can think of, because it's so random, but They've been building Austin Theory as, you know, and with these vignettes doing like, you know, being Vince's protege. Mm-hmm. I think that maybe there could have been a plan for Shane versus Austin Theory and like, you know, Vince having to choose like which one to support or something. His son.
That would have been better.
That would have been better. But this match is so random. And I'm just like, well, maybe they didn't want to get rid of the spot with Theory and then just said, give him somebody that's like, Shane, and just throw Pat McAfee in there. It's so random. It feels like a complete audible. I mean, the match will probably be decent just because it's Pat, and he had a solid match, I think, with was it Adam Cole? That was his only other match, you know what I mean? But it just seems like that kind of a caliber matchup, you know what I mean? Like just something like that Shane would have had, you know?
Yeah. I mean, it's definitely a good look for Theory in the end. Like it's pretty much just going to build him up and kind of give him a higher star or whatever. It's good exposure. And I know like Vince also is talking about wrestling at Mania, so I wonder if he interferes in this match in any way.
Yeah.
To try to help Austin Theory win or maybe go against him. I don't know. But I feel like maybe it would have been better if he didn't want Shane to do it since Shane is fired. Why not Vince just wrestle Austin Theory? I feel like there's more of a story there.
There would be more of a story there.
Pat McAfee in and WrestleMania is in like 3 weeks. Like, how are we going to build this thing? You know what I mean?
We're rushing now.
Yeah, it's definitely intriguing to see, and I wonder how they're going to do it. But my favorite part of the segment is Michael Cole yelling, Pat, no. He's yes. like, Pat, no, don't Pat, do this. No. Pat, no, no. But yeah, it'll be interesting to see where they go with this. And then to wrap us all up, we got a new heel character. Very interesting. Like he's usually like always like does some shade of red in his lighting. His gear always has red. To see him with blue just felt so unsettling. Like the blue lighting, his music was even different, which his music is by the same artist that does his original theme.
Yeah.
But they've did a new song for him for this new character, which is interesting too.
I love the reinvention though. You know what I mean? It's never too late to reinvent yourself.
Very true. Yeah. It's like I love and hate the blue lighting though. Like I love it because it's different, but I hate it because it kind of hurt my eyes a little bit. When watching it, I was like, what is happening? But I like his promo style. Like it was almost like he achieved a new level of like consciousness or something. Like I'm still
Roman and Aquaman cosplayer.
Yes. But I like him just kind of being like, you know, I was the person that came back and I let Roman Stack pin me and, you know, I let such and such beat me. And it's almost like he's kind of like taking pieces from the old character and showing like why, like, okay, I can't do this for the fans. I got to do this for myself now.
Yeah.
And Edge is the best when he's a heel. So I'm excited to see what he does with this. And this is definitely going to catapult AJ as like a face for sure. Like, because we're going to hate this Edge character, but we're going to love it at the same time. But it's going to make AJ Styles look amazing. So
it will be.
Yeah.
Because the face with a no heel is useless. Well, that was another episode of All For Wrestling Podcast. Please remember, if you did not like it, you can't complain because we told you it was awful from the jump. It's All For Wrestling Podcast. Peace.
Gonna be about 35 feet. If you like this episode, be sure to subscribe on the podcast app of your choice. Also, follow us on Instagram at Off Wrestling Podcast and on Twitter at Off Wrestling 1.